handle the truth.
I promised I wouldn't sing along with the theme music, but oh well, I lied. Hey gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio. This is your show for Monday, October 9th, 2017. And today I am joined by Don Advo. Don, welcome to the show.
Good morning and greetings from behind the lines of Mexican-occupied California. Great to be on today.
Well, it's great to have you. And I heard your show earlier with David Duke, and you all had a lot of interesting things to talk about regarding Hollywood and Harvey Weinstein and Larry David. But you can talk about that if you'd like, but there's some other topics. You know, there's all this stuff going on in the NFL. Wasn't Mike Pence at a game yesterday? And then there's the Charlottesville stuff with the alt-right. And Charlie Sykes, what do you want to start talking about?
Well, I'd like to start talking about the NFL. And you're right, Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, very conservative person, and I mean that in not so much a political way, but just not a very bold, adventuresome man. He went to see Hamilton, the musical, and he sat quietly in the audience while he was lectured by the Negro cast on how terrible he was. He paid for a ticket to hear a theatrical performance, not to be lectured. But what the contracts, what could contractual obligations mean to these people? Mean, you know, contractual obligations mean nothing to them. And contractual obligations nor any other obligations mean very little to the NFL players whose audience is leaving them. And yesterday, Governor Pence got up and walked out of a football game in Indiana between the 49ers, the California team, and his own home state NFL team, I think the Colts. And the 49ers refused to stand for the flag, at least a substantial number of them. And he got up and left and issued a tweet and a pronouncement. And I think it's very significant. I think that, first of all, the migration of the white fan base away from the Negro-dominated, Jew-owned NFL is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Black people, and to a large extent Jewish people, who hate us, who hate the white race, and use their financial power to harm us, like Oprah Winfrey, who helped propel Barack Obama into the presidency and to the public limelight. O.J. Simpson, who murdered a white woman and got off scot-free. And Bill Cosby, another multimillionaire who spent his career drugging and raping white women. And let's not forget Roman Polanski. He's got a history of drugging and raping. And, of course, Harvey Weinstein, you know, sexual assailant, sexual predator. How did these people get their power? They got it because American rank-and-file persons opened their wallets, bought tickets, watched TV, bought products from sponsors, and made these enemies of our race, made these enemies of our people rich and powerful in a position to harm us. I've said it before many times, and I'll say it again. One way we can help destroy the people who seek to destroy us is just to close our wallets. Okay, it's not like, you know, you contribute to the Advo organization to fight the enemy and dip into your wallet and send me money. Close your wallet. You don't have to fund me, but for God's sakes, stop funding the people who hate you and want to destroy you.
Well,
you can defund the left, and that is an enormous stride. And what we're seeing is the NFL is now, they have crapped all over and denigrated their own customer base. I don't know what they thought would happen. I mean, how much longer do you think you're going to continue to be a millionaire when the source of your $1 million salary is the people you are denigrating?
And, you know, I've also been talking about this, that the Jewish media only has power to the extent that we watch it. If we stop watching it, it loses its power. This is exactly what you're saying. And this is exactly what we're seeing played out with the NFL. People turn off to it. And I think it's important to note, to observe, that what's happening in the NFL, I don't think it was part of a Jewish plan. I think it's the Jewish narrative of nonstop black victimization at the hands of whites is backfiring on them. Because the blacks, they believe it, and then they act out on it, and here they are killing the goose that lays the golden egg, right? I mean, don't you see it as this is basically the blacks going off the reservation in terms of what the Jews would want them to have? I mean, what do you think about that?
That's an interesting insight. You're right about that. But you see, both of these demographics have been so open in their hatred of white people and have grown rich by condemning white people. I mean, why should they change now? I think they're drunk with power as much as they're drunk with anything else. As far as the blacks going off the reservation, well, what else do you expect? Mm-hmm. I guess at least they didn't burn the stadium down, and maybe that's some kind of progress. But I think the migration of many, many millions. I saw some number that said the NFL was losing 2.5 million fans, 2.5 million fans or viewers, something like that. That's a substantial number of people, and the ratings continue to fall for four straight weeks. And when they lose the television presence, the networks lose the ability to rake in many, many millions of dollars in advertising revenue. So it's really the television presence and the viewership that in many ways is more lucrative than people buying tickets and physically showing up at the stadiums. So this is not only going to defund the NFL, it's not only going to put a crimp in their style, it's going to harm the networks too. And I think anything that harms the networks is a good thing. Anything that harms them is always good. Any migration away from that which harms us to that which helps us is a good thing. And I think that was largely the theme of the Trump candidacy and the Trump victory. Whether the Trump presidency will fulfill its promises is, of course, very problematical and very much open to question. We never know what people will do when they achieve high public office after we work very hard to put them there. More often than not, we've been very, very painfully disappointed and very, very painfully betrayed over the years. What will Trump follow in the footsteps of Eisenhower and Nixon and Ronald Reagan and the Bush family? It remains to be seen. There are good signs. At the same time, there are bad signs as well. Another good sign is there's a so-called conservative talk radio show host named Charlie Sykes out of Wisconsin. And Sykes was a never-Trumper. He was a true conservative. He wrote a whole bunch of books, none of which I ever heard of. But he's published a new book called How the Conservative Movement Lost Its Mind. And I heard him interviewed with on C-SPAN last night about his new book. And it was a lot of, I mean, you'd think this guy was a liberal. A lot of hand-wringing and weeping and wailing about how Trump is collaborating with racists and white supremacists and white nationalism. Sykes has no problem with Jewish nationalism. Sykes has no problem with the Jews having their own private country, their own private nuclear arsenal. He has no problem with Jews securing the existence of their people and a future for Jewish children. It is only when white people want to secure white existence and a future for white children that somehow nationalism and racial identity becomes a terrible, awful thing. This guy, I did a little digging on this guy, and there was a story earlier this year in the Los Angeles Times, early 2017, entitled "How a Top conservative radio host took on Trump, lost his audience and faith, but gained a new perspective. So this is an example of what I'm talking about when I say white people are migrating away from that which harms us, and hopefully in the direction of that which helps us. I mean, this guy is not a particularly significant person. He's largely inconsequential. But I think his destruction, his downfall, is a very, very powerful conservative voice to a non-entity who's trying to peddle his books on C-SPAN. Show something very interesting. We still have the numbers to be powerful. We still have the numbers to save ourselves. And on that same note, the numbers and the migrating people, there was some great activism over the weekend by our fellow alt-right comrades, Richard Spencer, and a number of our people had a flash demonstration in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. Kind of a mini torchlight parade to the statue, and Charlottesville, City Council and the mayor are apoplectic.
Yeah, and I want to get to that. I want to talk about that in detail, but I want to finish up some of this stuff first, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Okay, so regarding the NFL and black behavior, I've got some questions for you. If you look around the world and look where blacks live, there seems to be a relationship that where blacks, the smaller blacks are as a minority, the better off they are. You look at the African countries where the populations are entirely African, the rulers are African, they're independent countries, and they do the worst. If you look at the Caribbean islands, you know, you have place like Haiti, which is in the same boat as Africa, place like Jamaica that's not quite as bad, but of course it had colonial tutelage for until maybe the 1960s. And then, some of the better off islands might have black populations but are not independent, Virgin Islands or Cayman Islands or Bermuda. And then, of course, you look at minority areas. And if you look at areas in the United States where blacks live, I would think the few blacks you would have in Montana or Vermont would be doing much, much better than where you have big concentrations. So the question then, or the questions, become, one, I mean, well, are there any blacks out there who realize – are there any black voices who are saying that we don't – why would we want to demographically expand and why would we want the white population that honestly has benefited us very greatly, if you're going to be objective about it, why would we want to participate in the white destruction and a black demographic expansion given – the realities where you have black majorities and black rule. Is there anybody out there like Thomas Sowell or anybody out there who would be making this point? I guess that's the first question. So maybe that's the question I'm posing now.
Yeah, there are a couple of them. Not very powerful people. Of course, Maxine Waters ran away from the black community and lives in a white neighborhood now. So she's kind of an example of your theory, I guess. She lives in a nice big mansion instead of in a house with bars on the doors and windows to keep out burglars and drug users like her fellow the black people who voted her into office and have kept her there in the Congress for 30 some odd years. Live like prisoners in their own homes while she lives in the plantation house with the white folks. They keep voting for her. I don't get it. Jesse Lee Peterson is a black conservative. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of white people, and he points out America is a white country. And he has said that when the white people go, it's probably not going to be good for black people. And there was another pastor, Manning, I forget his first name, who is very critical of Obama. He has a podcast. He's not on AM radio or anything like that, but he is very critical of black people. And he points out the benefits they have achieved from living in white society. He said there's no successful black countries in the world. They're all getting American foreign aid. to survive. You know, what happens when there's an earthquake in Haiti or a tidal wave or a hurricane? You know, Americans go there with their pocketbooks. And, you know, every outside of Russia and China, although, frankly, I've heard so-called conservative talk radio shows fundraising for earthquake victims in China. I mean, we're sending money to China?
Yeah. I'm just going to interject that. I believe you're talking about Pastor James David Manning.
Yeah, that's the guy, James Manning, yeah.
Okay.
He was very critical of Obama. He said some very disparaging things about Obama. But I think he was on Bill O'Reilly's show one time, and he was never invited back. And I'm sure that's probably the reason he spoke so disparagingly of Obama. So, I think that's an interesting observation, that blacks do best in societies where they make up the smallest percentage of the population. That's really kind of interesting. We're just the opposite of white people. We do best where we make up the majority, because if we make up the minority, they try to exterminate us.
Mm-hmm. So, I just blanked out for a second. If you have, so one of the issues with white people is this tendency towards altruism. And while you can look at the history of humanity and you see that whites, along with everybody else, when they were powerful, would conquer and do whatever. And you can see lots of other, not just, there was a white expansion in the age of discovery, the post Christopher Columbus, there was a large white expansion. But you look at other eras, or even overlapping eras, and you see a massive Turkic expansion, where they came out of Central Asia, penetrated as far as the Balkan Peninsula and China to the east, the Xinjiang, the Uyghurs of the Xinjiang province. You had the Arabs who came out of the Arabian Peninsula, and now you've got Arabic spoken from Iraq all the way to Morocco in about 20 different countries. You've had a massive expansion of the Bantu people from Central Africa, moving both west and south, and eventually crossing paths with the Boers, the Afrikaner, the Europeans who had come and were already there by the time they crossed paths. You've had this, and in the New World as well. So it's certainly nothing unique to Europeans. But what is unique to Europeans, and this might sound like being an apologist, but I think it's historically very accurate, is when you had Europeans at the height of their power in the 1800s, early 1900s, what do they do? What do the British do? They outlaw the slave trade and, basically outlaw slavery by the 1900s, is to the extent that their power penetrated. When they colonialized Africa in the very late 1800s, they shut down the slave trade there. You had efforts to outlaw war. You think of the League of Nations trying to outlaw war. Well, that didn't work too well, but you did have rules of war established, the Geneva Conventions. You've got the outlawing of the legitimacy of territorial conquest through war. You've got all of these human rights. And this is when Europeans were at the height of their power, where had they wanted to enslave people, had they wanted to conquer, they could have. And yet there are some among them who wanted to, but there's this very strong strain of altruism. And although I have great respect for the accomplishments of East Asians, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you can find the same altruism there. When they're at the peak of their power, do they then let up and instead of dominating, do they try to lift up the people that they colonized, lift up and make them equal? I don't know. What do you think, Don Abbo? We're going to break, but I want your response as soon as.
Very good.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back appropriately with Oriental music there. And the question just going into the break was, the Orientals, the East Asians have a lot of accomplishments, but is there any reason to suspect that, or is there any evidence that they have shown the same kind of altruism when they are at positions of power that the Europeans did over the last couple of centuries?
The answer is absolutely not. They've never really shown much. None of the Asian peoples have shown much of an outward reach or an outward look. Japan never colonized or engaged in voyages of discovery. China swept across Central Asia, swept into Europe, but that was a very fleeting thing. It collapsed almost as suddenly as it came. Interestingly enough, long before the Crusades, Chinese went into the Middle East and sacked Baghdad and killed everything but the ants and the beetles and the insects. It was really a bloody, bloody incursion into that part of the world. So the answer is really no, they haven't. But that tradition may be changing. There is a tremendous Chinese presence in Africa today. In accordance with their anti-white sentiments, a lot of African rulers are looking to China for money, for technological help, and what they're finding is the Chinese are moving in and gradually dispossessing them in certain areas. They're treating black workers very harshly. And I saw a little video about the political situation now in Angola. And they're talking there, people are bitching and moaning and complaining about being dispossessed by Chinese. Chinese are coming in and they're building railroads. They're building high-rise apartments. And who lives in high-rise apartments? Well, the local blacks can't afford to do it. They're eking by on a subsistence diet, in a subsistence kind of lifestyle, even as they live in their mud huts. So the Chinese are coming in, building expensive high-rise apartments, relatively expensive, and it's for the Chinese to come in and dispossess them. So they're beginning to see dispossession by the Chinese instead of white Europeans, and it's not going to be very pleasant for them, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, we are coming up on Columbus Day, and of course, with have we already had it? I know it's this month, the Indigenous Peoples Day. It's sometime this month.
Yeah, they're calling it Indigenous Peoples Day. They're celebrating the great cultural achievements of the Indigenous people, such as in the Aztecs, where they used to, in the main Aztec city of Tenochtitlan, which is Mexico City today, they used to eat human beings as a source of animal protein. I don't know if they're going to go back to that or not, but it's really ridiculous.
It's still done to an extent in Africa. But I was just going to point out that Columbus was the first person to make a transoceanic round trip. I mean, people had made one-way trips, but to make a round trip to come back and say what you saw was huge. Now, the Chinese had sailing fleets, but they sailed around the coast, and they sailed around the coast of Southeast Asia and into the Indian Ocean. And you mentioned going as far as Baghdad. I'm not sure if that was through a naval voyage or through overland.
No, that was overland.
That was overland. But they did get, I think they got as far as the African coast. But, you know, they were sailing around the coast. And it's a completely different matter to go straight off into an unknown ocean where you're surrounded by nothing but water and to sail for weeks and weeks than to sail around the coast where you can, you know, where you're not out, you know, far away from land ever. But they had done that. And the Japanese had started to go places. There were Japanese in the Philippines and in Vietnam around 1600 when the Tokugawa shogunate closed the country and wouldn't even let them come back. Wouldn't let them come back, wouldn't let anybody leave, and wouldn't let anybody come back. So while certainly the Europeans and Columbus and Magellan and all of them were way out in front. One point I am trying to make is, you know, if you're talking about, say, the Aborigines of Australia or any other group, if it wasn't the Europeans, sooner or later, you know, they would have been visited, germs would have been exchanged, the exact same things would have happened in terms of massive dying disease and displacement would have happened. And you're maybe seeing this place. We'll be back after the next break and we'll move on to some other topics.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
More with Don Advo, and I do want to get to this alt-right demonstration in Charlottesville, but just before we get to it, you were talking about this former radio show host, Charlie Sykes, and he's very critical of Trump because Trump's not a true conservative. So my question is, what do people like Charlie Sykes mean when they're talking about a true conservative? What problem do they have with Trump and his main message he's been anti-war, but his main message has been anti-immigration. What is their problem with Trump? And if that's not conservative, then what's the point of clinging to this conservative
narrative
label? Yeah. Right.
Well, the answer is I don't really know what true conservatism is, except kind of a suicide, the pathology of white suicide as much as anything. I heard him being interviewed by this conservative feminist lesbian woman, Tammy Bruce, and she supported Trump. And she said, yeah, Trump is kind of crude and he's kind of extemporaneous and he doesn't have a political ideology or a dogma, but he appeals to a lot of people. And what was Trump's main message? Trump's message was America has a right to exist, make America great again. It was American nationalism. It was no more complicated than that. And Sykes was railing about white nationalism and how Trump, you know, did not condemn and disavow white nationalists with sufficient fervor. Well, a couple of things about Sykes. Sykes lost his radio show. His audience ran away from him. They ran away from him just like masses of white people today are running away from the networks, from Hollywood, and from the NFL. And I think that's hugely significant. Hugely significant. But it's almost like the so-called conservative movement, conservative ideology, I don't even know what it means. I mean, I knew what it meant in the 60s. It meant we were opposed to communism and big government, and we were opposed to torturing people, and we were opposed to unnecessary wars, and we were opposed to a KGB type of police state. And then George Bush got elected, and 1911 hit, and suddenly true conservatives were supporting torture, supporting unnecessary wars, and supporting a KGB type of police state. So so-called true conservatism has completely flip-flopped and turned against every basic value that embodied it, even in my short lifetime. So this kind of flip-flopping, it's very confusing to people. It's very harmful to people. And, you know, they seem to want to flood the country with people who will destroy the Republican Party and who will ensure a permanent voting majority for the Democrats. It is a pathology of self-destruction and suicide. It's like some kind of weird religious cult. Okay. And I don't know how else to explain it.
Mm-hmm. And it's being rejected by this new younger wave of activists known as the alt-right. And they're not clinging to this conservative label. And we had, you were going to mention it, this rally, a flash mob rally, an unannounced sudden rally in Charlottesville over the weekend. And I guess the University of Virginia was having a lot of events, and Richard Spencer is an alumni of the University of Virginia, used to live in Charlottesville. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, my understanding is they went to Charlottesville over the weekend. They had a flash mob and they had a torchlight rally and they had a brief march. And the Charlottesville City Council and mayor, they are apoplectic. You know, the idea that white people should exercise the same First Amendment freedoms as other races, and quite upset about it. There was also a march in Washington, D.C. on the mall. I think they went to the Jefferson Memorial and gave speeches and did this sort of thing. There are plans for White Lives Matter rally coming up on October 28th. I believe that's some of the organizers of that include the League of the South and other nationalist groups. So you see this upsurge of energy, of youthful energy, and I think that is very important in the white nationalist movement. White people are learning that identity politics is the, frankly, identity politics is the political reality of today. America is a racial spoils system, and races compete for government benefits and college placements and jobs and just about everything else on the basis of identity. So every race gets to organize and compete as a team, except white people, who are forced to compete as individuals, because if white people organize, that's racism and that's supremacism. And that's kind of been the narrative. And white people are finally saying, you know, we want equal rights. We want equal First Amendment rights to organize and advocate white identity in the same way that blacks and Jews and Mexicans advocate their own separate and distinct racial identity. And, of course, there's a lot of pushback. But you know, I don't think they're going to be able to stop it. And the interesting thing that, you know, there was a huge, huge pushback after Charlottesville. And I guess Stormfront was shut down for a while. The Daily Stormer disappeared. And there were other people who had their funding cut off and PayPal and this sort of thing. People are still there. Stormfront is back. Daily Stormer is accessible. And websites.
How do you access the Daily Stormer for those who haven't caught up with it yet?
I have somebody sent me a link, and I have it on my bar on my computer. I don't know that I can tell anybody how to do it. Frankly, I just, somebody sent me a link and I click on it. I bookmarked it. That's what I want to see.
I had a certain amount of trouble, but last night I went to a search engine, not Google, but another search engine, and maybe it was Yahoo, and I typed in Daily Stormer, not an address, dailystormer.org, but just Daily Stormer, right. And I was able to get it that way. And so it's still a little bit hard to get, but it's Daily Stormer. If you can find it, it's there. They are updating it, and of course Stormfront is back, and you know they're fighting, but they're not winning. I think, you know, we're making progress.
Well, we are making progress. There's something that needs to be discussed about the Torchlight Parade. There's some statute in Virginia that says it's a felony if you burn an object with the intention of intimidating another race or something. It was to cut down cross-burning. And now this Negro city council person wants to prosecute Richard Spencer for a felony for a political demonstration. Torchlight parades are an old American tradition. They go back early 1800s. In 1860, after Lincoln secured the nomination of the comparatively new Republican Party, in 1860, there was a 10,000-man torchlight parade through the streets of Chicago. I hope no one's going to say Lincoln was a fascist, although he probably was a white supremacist by modern standards. He was nevertheless not a fascist, and he is credited with emancipating the slaves. So that's something most of our people don't seem to be very much aware of, but that, in light of all this talk about torchlight parades, that needs to be brought out. We need to hold up our history as a shield in telling the truth and the narrative so that people will be more able to deal with these accusations and to deal with the anti-white narrative. So torchlight parades go back to the early 1800s, and one of the biggest in American history was led by Abraham Lincoln in 1860. Mm-hmm. City of Chicago.
Well, the torchlight parade, you're not burning something other than the fuel. In other languages, I guess they differentiate better between the transitive and the intransitive of the verb. But the torch doesn't get burned up and turned into ashes. It's simply a means of burning fuel, and the fuel, why are you burning it? You're burning it for light.
Well, so, it's a visual statement, the contrast between light and darkness. And, you know, people on the left have all these candlelight vigils. So somehow it's okay when they do it, but not when we do it. And what you see here is the, you know, the double standard. Everybody else can engage in certain First Amendment activities, but white people cannot. So it's emblematic of the racial caste system in which we find ourselves, where we are permanently assigned to second-class citizenship.
I guess kerosene is inherently racist and paraffin's not. You talk about second-class citizenship. You've talked about the racial caste system. And we were talking earlier before the show about the way government programs are often designed to as a means of transferring wealth from one group or one race to another. I was right. Mentioning insurance systems, and of course, Medicaid does that. Obamacare does that. I mean, people have been complaining about Obamacare, and these conservatives, like you were mentioning earlier, will slam it because it's a government takeover of the healthcare system, which is not. The problem with Obamacare is, one, it does nothing to eliminate inefficiencies. But the other thing is that it is a transfer of wealth from the largely white taxpayers and premium payers to the largely black or Hispanic subsidy recipients and Medicaid recipients of expanded Medicaid. And so you even have somebody like Richard Spencer, who has come out calling, I mean, he initially was calling for Bernie Care. He was saying, oh, let's just go to Bernie Care because at least our people will be covered. I've talked to him about it. And, you know, of course, Bernie Care is, or at least the H.R. 676, which is introduced every year by Congressman Ron Dellums, it also is very largely a transfer of wealth because it's just soak the rich in the middle class and provide free health care to everybody else. The problem is not whether it's government or market. The problem is whether it's a transfer or not. And you could have a national health care system that if it's based on taxes that everybody's paying, based on excise taxes on Newport cigarettes and Colt 45 malt liquor, for instance, if people have enough money to pay for those types of things and they're kicking into the insurance system, then it's less of a you could design it so it would be less of a wealth transfer. But this is a problem, and perhaps you have other examples of this you want to talk about where, you know, what you have is the government just being the arbitrator of transfer of resources from the white race to black or other races, and the pillaging by Jews of you know, kind of a spoil system where they're pillaging what they want too.
Well, yeah, I mean, the biggest example, I guess, is Jews. They get their own private country and their own private nuclear arsenal, and largely subsidized and funded by white Americans, the vast majority of whom are not Jewish. And the biggest thing, the most, in my view, the most outrageous example of wealth transfer is transfer of physical wealth, indeed physical territory, from American citizens to illegal aliens from all over the world, but most especially from Mexico. I've talked before, you know, my trademark greeting is greetings from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied California. And California is in many ways a political subdivision of Mexico. It's become a sanctuary state now and has many sanctuary cities. And what does this mean? This means illegal aliens come here and operate outside the scope of federal law and in some cases outside the scope of local law enforcement. And look at Mexico today. Mexico, a substantial political factor, controlling force in Mexico is drug cartels. Mexico has very tough gun control laws. A citizen can't own a gun, but if you're a hitman for a drug cartel, you can own any weapon you want. And they have their own armies. They have compromised law enforcement, compromised much of the military. And what's going to happen with open borders is you're going to have drug cartels running California. Talk about a transfer of wealth. You hand over one of the largest, most powerful, most prosperous states to another country, to Mexico, to Mexican drug cartels specifically, and you see California with its own foreign policy. It's almost as though the California political elites have formed an alliance with Mexico, and they're rapidly facilitating the invasion, the occupation of what was once a great American state, and now they're raising the taxes all the time. They want free health care for illegal aliens, all these benefits many white people can't qualify for, but we're going to have to pay through the nose on taxes. And I know white people now who are paying $2,200 a month for health care insurance. No health care. They just get the insurance, but they've got a $12,000 deductible. So one of my friends said, even if my family gets sick, we got no health care. I don't have 12 grand. I don't have $1,200 extra. So you're paying all this money for health care, but you have no access to health care. But illegal aliens do. They cannot be denied anything. It's like we're being conquered and we are forced to bow. We are forced to take a knee to our conquerors. hand them our money, hand them our wealth, hand them our neighborhoods and towns, and even one of our states. So, yeah, that's emblematic of the racial caste system. White people are on the bottom. We're paying for everything, but we get almost nothing.
And it's not just here in the United States. It's in Canada. It's in Europe. It's in Australia. It's everywhere. Well, we will be going to break again soon, but and for the last segment, if somebody wants to call in, the number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So, yeah, the question is, can this be turned around? And you saw in Germany, the alternative for Deutschland becoming, I guess, the number three party in the parliament. You're seeing signs of awakening, and the question is it going to be enough? Or is it just going to be too little too late? Well, we'll be back after the break. I don't know if we can answer that, but be back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. So we do have a caller we'll go to, but I posed a question to you just before the break. Have we woken up in time, or is it too little too late? Could take maybe a minute or so and respond to that.
White people can save themselves if they will. It is the decision of white people. They have only to decide that they have a right to exist and a willingness to make the effort. It is not too late. White people can save themselves.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. All right. Let's go to Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, Patrick and Don. I just wanted to give you the address of Anglin's...
Chatango. Chatango, right?
No. I wanted to give you the address of Anglin's website.
Oh, okay. Well, give both.
It's letter D, Stormer, number 6, EM, number 3, letter I, number 4, and letters KM, then dot onion dot link. I see why Don didn't want to try to give it out.
Right. Okay. Give the Chatango address and then give the Daily Stormer address too, just in case people need to get their pens out.
Oh, okay. It's nationalbugleradio.chatango.com, and this address is in there. Mm-hmm. And it's D Stormer, number 6, letter EM, number 3, letter I, number 4, letters KM dot onion dot link.
So that's that last complicated address is how you can get to the Daily Stormer.
It is. But it's in that Chatango, and it'll be in the other one, too.
And if you have trouble, okay, so it's in Chatango. That's good. Okay, that's good to know.
Your National Bugle Radio, Chatango. Thank you.
You can go there if you didn't get a chance to write down the complicated address. You can still get to Daily Stormer. And if you have trouble getting to Daily Stormer, I do understand that the Chrome browser works the best. Some browsers might not work as well with it. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you have trouble with one browser, you might want to try Chrome. Okay, we have maybe a minute left. Do either of you have anything else you want to report before we face the music? Well,
I don't think I have anything left to say except that it's not too late, and don't lose heart, and the tide is turning.
It's not too late. Okay, here's something I'd like to add is that John Stadtmiller has created this RBN network, which is such an important source of information for people. Go to republicbroadcasting.org.
This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked.
Click on the donate button and send a few shekels his way, because we want to keep this project going. All right.
Sounds good to me.
It's so important. Yeah. You know, you talked earlier, Don, about if people just simply stop watching the NFL or the Jewish media, they lose their power. And as they are losing their power, we have to have something to replace it with. We have to have an alternative. And, you know, we do have alternatives. And this network is a great alternative to fill in the void.
Very well said.
Now I am hearing our swan song. Thank you. Thank you, Murr, for calling in. And thank you, Don Adva, for being on the show. I hope you'll join me again sometime soon. And to our listeners, please tune in again tomorrow for more.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting Facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can